Calling Ben.
Buggity.
Hey, Ben Lawrence, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. I am in the middle of making myself dinner.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I am having these Crunchmaster rice crackers. They have a crunchy oven-baked taste with the toasted sesame flavor. And I found them in the green room. And I can't not eat them. They're so good.
Really?
But I promise.
I will have to take a.
Yeah, I promised your listener that I will not crunch them on the microphone. I was having them.
That wasn't a dig at me, was it?
No.
Because, as we know.
They are certified gluten-free. Right. They're low-fat, 0 grams trans fat, low sodium. They're like you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not eating them.
Hey, yeah, exactly. You're actually becoming less healthy.
I know. I was eating them before you called, and I wasn't even sitting up close to the microphone. I was sitting back in my chair, and I could still see the meter bounce. They're that loud.
Well, I'm going to be shredding a potato. And then I will be shredding some cheese and some eggs. I'm making a little, like, we've talked about Luna Park before.
Yeah, we have.
One of my favorite things I have is there's a pile and a hobo. I think the hobo is where it's all mixed together, and the pile is where it's in sort of layers. But it's basically hash browns and then some cheese and then some other, you know, whatever other thing is going on.
Yeah, as we've determined, you like breakfast for dinner on more
I
than
do.
A special occasion.
I enjoy breakfast for dinner. And it's too bad because as we've noted, I have a voluntary restriction to not eating cheese and meats together.
Right.
And it's too bad because bacon, egg, and cheese was my favorite of anything.
Yeah, that limits you. That limits your breakfast delicacies quite a bit.
Exactly. So, you know, but I'm dealing with it, Ben. That's the main thing. I'm making a stand. Jennifer and Betty will be returning on Saturday.
Oh, they're not home yet.
Yeah, no, they're still in Virginia. I was going to go to a family reunion with my mom, my biological mom's family.
Yeah.
But because they're going to be traveling, Jennifer and Betty, right? I did not want to make the 4 hours up, 4 hours back trip to this family reunion if I was only going to stay for 3 hours.
Yeah. No, if you're going to be staying overnight, that's fine, but not for 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah, and the reason for that is because my adopted dad has this ordination thing, not ordination, but like ordination anniversary. So he became a pastor 50 years ago.
50 years ago.
Yeah, and so he's gonna get some kind of a, like, I don't know if he gets
a
plaque or a pin or something,
a
some
coin?
Kind of a, yeah, exactly. But
wow.
The thing is that
congratulations to Pastor Goody.
Exactly. Because my wife and daughter are going to be traveling, they want me to keep my phone on. This is on Saturday, and since I'm going to be keeping my phone on, I've decided that I am also going to drive, and I was going to drive to the family reunion.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm going to drive to St. Louis to go to one of the synagogues there. See what it's all about.
Do they allow you to drive to a synagogue on a Saturday?
This is a thing. I'm going to go to the Reconstructionist synagogue. And it's not even a synagogue, it's a community. You know, I'm sure it's a synagogue also, but it's a bit more like a room. In a place, if you're listening to this and you're a member of the Reconstructionist congregation in St. Louis, first of all, why? What happened? How did we do it? I'm happy that you're listening, but I also apologize for getting all the terminology wrong. But there's a center, like a sort of Jewish center, and they have a room in that center. But the Reconstructionists are very... very much more liberal But yet surprisingly traditional. Yeah, it's an interesting mix.
You can be both. I can see that.
You know, they respect tradition. The thing they say is that the past has a vote, not a veto. So, like, you know, just because things have always been done some way doesn't mean that there isn't necessarily a better way to do them, a kinder way to do them. They are, for instance, and this is the reason why I decided that I was very interested in them, gays, lesbians, transgender folk, all that.
They're welcome.
Welcome.
Excellent.
Welcome in their presence and in their services and in their ranks and all that. So I was like, you know, I started thinking about it. I was like, why would I want to, you know, I've made so much progress socially, you know, with the idea that people are people and with, you know, respecting other opinions and all that. Why would I not want to go to the place that holds those same beliefs? Seems pretty much like a no-brainer to me. So
yeah, what I mean,
that's what I'm doing.
So are they having an event? Or are they having like a brunch?
Oh,
or
no,
you're just gonna go
just,
and show up
just,
and sit and quietly
just,
worship?
Right. Well, I mean, that, I'm gonna show up, and then they're gonna have to, you know, figure out what to do with me. they know that
gonna,
I'm coming.
You're just gonna walk in the door with your arms wide, going, "Deal with me now."
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like I do, Ben, like I do everywhere I go, pretty much. I mean, can we agree? But no, I've been talking to their rabbi for months, and I've, you know, been reading all these books, and he asked me, this is what happened, is he asked me, we correspond during email, he asked me if I had made it to a service yet.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, no, I haven't. And he mentioned, have you made it to service yet? Because there is one that is happening on Saturday that you could go to. I assume, okay, now I could be wrong, Ben. I could be totally wrong. He might have said, have you gone to a service yet? Because there's one happening on Saturday, and gave me the address of the place.
Yeah.
He didn't specifically tell me to show up, so it could be just a strange...
Or he might have given you the address of a competing synagogue, and he's like, now he's their problem.
That is true. So Jennifer is calling me. I am texting her podcast.
She's calling.
Yeah, I don't know what she wants. Although, she did mention that she accidentally ran over a basketball hoop and put some...
What was the basketball hoop doing on the ground?
Well, this is the thing, is that it's one of those freestanding basketball hoops, you know, that kids have.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you weigh it down with... Oh, wait, she's texting me. Hold on. And Jennifer, when you're listening to this, I can only imagine how exciting it is to hear.
Or how annoyed she is.
Yeah, or what sort of... Oh, no, she didn't text me. She did.
If it's an emergency...
Wait, oh, yeah. She... Oh, okay. So I texted her podcast. She texted back, "I know!" Exclamation point. I sent in the email just about 15 minutes ago. Oh, she sent us corrections.
She did send corrections.
Yeah, just 15 minutes ago.
Is that why she was calling?
I said, great, I'll tell... I think so.
Oh.
I'll tell Ben.
Well. Yeah, I checked. She sent... which is why I thought they were home, because last week she didn't send corrections, and they were still traveling. So...
Oh, no, she didn't send corrections because she didn't... Because we were right
the whole time. Well, that's not... That's not what assume.
No, I think that she's actually sent us corrections for two episodes.
She did.
She sent us
corrections for episodes 71 and 72. This, if you're keeping track at home, is episode 73. Paul, we've been doing this for 73 weeks.
73 weeks. That's over a year, Ben.
That is over a year. Well, technically, we've been doing it for longer than that, but we did take like a year hiatus between episodes 1 and 3.
That is right. Wait, 1 and 3. Oh yeah, that's right. Because
episode two was like in 6 months. I'm like, hey guys, don't forget about us. And I just put a song on the podcast feed.
Was it Deadweight or was it?
No, it was Ava Adore, I believe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
One of my favorites of ours.
Yeah, it's. I think it may stand the test of time. I don't know. I was fatter than I am now when I did it. That's all.
Yeah,
that's all I know. And hey, when I listen to this or when you're listening to this, am I still fatter? Am I fatter than that? Am I less fat? Who knows?
Well, who knows?
If fluctuate.
Well, send us a picture, Paul, and we'll let you know. I don't know.
No, what your weight is. I refuse.
I was thinking about trying to find something that we did because Annex's retreat is coming up in a couple of weeks. And
hey, all right.
As you know, Paul, as our listener, Steve McCandless also knows, and Jennifer probably knows this too. But if any randos are listening to this, they don't know that on Saturday night at Annex's retreat, we have what we call pizza night, where we all sit around the campfire and we share. And what we share is maybe a poem we've been working on, or a story,
now,
or a song.
Now, can I ask you a question? For those of the people who are not listening, who are listening, sorry, and don't know, pizza night originally, when there was a theater space, we would all get pizza,
yeah,
and do this.
It actually,
at retreat, sometimes there isn't pizza.
Sometimes, and more often than not, there's not pizza.
Which confuses people when you call it pizza.
I know.
Night.
It's like when you talk to people you just met and you tell them you're doing Spin the Bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
To me, that is the name of a late night cabaret. That is not the name of a party sex game anymore.
Right. And there was also one of these things that, you know, the I love the 80s or I love the 90s,
yeah,
and all that.
Yeah.
There was one guy on there, and his credit was given as Spin the Bottle, which apparently was his thing.
So,
but I thought for a second that he was, like, I was like, oh, maybe he performed at Spin the Bottle one time, and he decided to give a shout-out. I don't think so.
Probably
but
not. But, anyway, the genesis of Pizza Night was when we were doing ATF, and you remember, Paul, this was a play that we did at Annex,
yes,
back in 2000. It was a year-long generative play, and we
pretty much how you and I met. It is how,
exactly,
Jennifer and I met.
Yeah, and
for real,
we had scheduled in a black box performance of the show, so, sort of like halfway through, kind of like a hey, company people, come check this out and let us know if you have input. And we realized as a company, as the acting company and the creative company, that we weren't ready for that. So we just decided to cancel it. And so we suddenly had space in the theater, or time in the theater, to do something. So Paul Budritis thought, well, let's just have like a talent show, basically.
Yeah.
And the point is, you don't have to come with something creative. And in fact, one of the things that I most remember about one of the early pizza nights is that Sonia Walker taught everybody how to put an unconscious person into the recovery position.
Yeah.
Carrie Healy taught people how to fart with their hands.
Yes.
Doing it now. Probably can't hear that.
Hey.
Anyway.
Look at that.
Yeah, so... But the reason I bring up Pizza Night at Retreat is because I am trying to find something to present. And I thought, well, maybe Paul and I have a sketch or a performance that we came up with, that we wrote. But for what reason, one reason or another, we never did.
Mm.
And I couldn't come up with something. Now, we did rehearse a song that we eventually never played at Spin
What
the
was
Bottle.
That? Which song was that?
I'm having a hard time remembering the name of it, but the reason we rehearsed it in my bedroom at Mr. House, and the reason we didn't play it is because that day that Spin the Bottle happened, you got really sick. I think you got physically sick.
Oh, wow. All right.
And I talked to you later about maybe revising it, and the song and the sickness were so entwined in your head that you couldn't do it.
This is like one of those things where Jennifer tells me that I've done something, and I'm like, what? This is one of those situations. I'm like, wow, I don't remember being sick.
Yeah.
I don't remember that song.
No, we can't. Yeah, we had to cancel performance at Spin the Bottle because you didn't want to.
Was I married at that time?
Were you married?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, you were.
Okay, so Jennifer might be able to remember because, believe me, when I'm sick, she knows all about it. I won't shut up about it. I'm a whiny, whiny guy.
You are.
When I'm sick.
A whiny little bee. So anyway, could you? I'm gonna look. I'm cheating, and I'm looking on my iPod to come up with the name of this song. But while I'm doing that, can you think of anything that we wrote or we did that we eventually didn't perform?
Normal. That's pretty long.
Well, see, that's the thing. I brought that out, and I thought, well, maybe I'll just get some people together and read this. And I read it out loud.
I think that would be great.
I read it out loud to myself, and it was over 20 minutes. So I'm like, no.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do it.
Yeah, no.
Completely do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Make it happen.
maybe I'll bring it, but I'll have some other people. I'll enlist some other people, and we'll just have like a sidebar, and we'll just do it that way.
Speaking of Jennifer and Pizza Night.
Yeah.
One of the things that made me fall in love with Jennifer Pratt was when she did the Lemon Project.
The Lemon Project. This kind of sounds familiar, but remind me what it is.
It was her making fun of Paul Broudritis's The Orange Project.
Yep.
It was brilliant. And I was like, this is so awesome. Because it wasn't totally mean-spirited.
Right.
But it was like...
Playful bashing.
It was, I am hitting all the points that he does in the thing. I think I want to say that at one point in time she stopped and like...
Yelled at the booth?
And like complained about a music or lighting lighting cue.
Five.
I'm not positive. But yeah, I think she did that. I'm pretty sure, but I don't know. She was great. She did a really
That's
good
awesome.
Job. Oh, and I think she did her buddy character on that too. Who's a misogynistic stand-up comic guy?
Is that
so many things.
Andy Kaufman alter ego reference?
Yeah, yeah. It's not. It's similar to that sort of thing, but I don't think it was an intentional. Is that the guy's name? Is that guy's name Buddy?
No, his name is Oh man, see when I get on the show with you, Paul, I can't think of anything.
Yeah. Well, it's because we're so used to looking at stuff. But yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
But
Andy Kaufman's alter ego is
Tony Clifton.
Tony Clifton. Yeah. And also,
I just did that. I did that
did
with
that.
My mind.
So you get points over me because I had to look up the song that we rehearsed but never played, and it's "Glory Box" by Portishead.
Oh.
I have a copy of us playing it. Because I recorded whenever we rehearsed, so I could like remind myself what we sounded like before we went on.
Ooh, can't anybody see?
Yeah,
that one. How can it feel this wrong? Wow, I do not remember. I mean, I do remember not playing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, actually,
I don't remember being sick. I wasn't lying. I'm sure of that.
Oh, no. I don't think you were lying. I think you actually were. Oh, guess what? Here, I have it on my phone.
Oh.
So you're not going to...
Jennifer just texted me. I think. Somebody texted me. Let me see. Oh, okay. So there's a note whenever we get to the corrections.
Oh, yeah?
There's some stuff.
Is it... Is an addendum to the corrections?
I think it's the Confederate flag thing. I want to say.
Oh.
Cause she said to credit Brad Buckingham, who's her brother-in-law.
Okay.
Cause he does like Civil War reenactments and he knows a lot of history stuff.
All right. Anyway, you want to get to corrections. I the app that I recorded it on is not letting me talk. Maybe it's designed not to play while there's a phone call.
Maybe so. That wouldn't be necessarily a bad thing.
No, I think it would work. I'll put it at the end of this podcast. So, hey, people, if you're listening, never before heard Goody Lawrence performance at the end of this podcast. Paul and Ben rehearsing Glory Box in my basement apartment, my basement bedroom.
Awesome. Now, one thing I found out, there is a type of cheese called Cabot, C-A-B-O-T.
Okay.
You might have it there. Kosher. Finding kosher cheese is very difficult.
Can you eat kosher cheese with kosher meats?
No. But you can eat kosher cheese and feel better because it's kosher.
Right.
And here's the thing. Apparently, you can eat it with eggs, though, which is what I'm doing right now. But the cheese that I've got, just so you know, Ben, and it's important for you and the listener to know, depending on what sort of noises I make, what I mean, it's this habanero cheese. And as I'm putting it into the pan and it's melting, it's actually poisoning me. Not poisoning me, but
poison.
It's like a chemical weapon.
you're dosing yourself. Is that what you're saying?
It's like hitting. It's hitting the back of my throat.
Wow, that's a good thing to eat when you're recording a podcast, Paul.
Yeah, I'm feeling really good about it. okay. So, Glory Box. What else? What's happening?
Glory Box. Oh, I was. If you think of something, I know we've done a couple of. We've started a couple of videos that we never finished. But I just wanted to put this bug in your ear on whether or not we have any sketches that we never did that we wrote.
Okay.
Like, I know the...
I don't know of any,
I know
but,
the
but...
Bad Accent Store has always been, like, the famous sketch we came up with but never did.
But we never actually wrote it, either.
No, we never wrote it.
Not that we wrote all the sketches that we performed, either. We, sometimes we're just like, yeah, here's a vague idea of what we want to do, and then we went out and did it.
Right.
We never really did improv. We always had some sort of game plan.
Yeah, yeah. Deconstructing improv, I think, is still one of my favorite pieces that we did. And it was like very early. This was before we were branded Goody Lawrence, when we deconstructed improv.
That's true.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, because I wanted to do improv when I got to that. Like when I got here, I was like, hey, that's something. Because I don't really want to perform without you, Ben. I don't know. It just doesn't feel as good.
But I think, well, we've spoken about this in the past. It's, you know, you cannot find that same lightning in a bottle, but you can capture different lightning in a different bottle.
Yeah. It's true. But the big thing about that is that I went to this place, and again, it's the Improv Shop in St. Louis. Which, you know, if you're looking to start out in improv and do stuff, they're great. Go-getters, kids. Man, I hope they're not closed.
Why would they be closed?
That would suck if they decide to move to California or something like that. And here I am saying, hey, do this thing.
Maybe they're closing. I did hear something about St. Louis in the news today. Do you know what I heard?
No, what was it?
St. Louis has decided today. Now, I don't know if they're actually going to enact this or if it's just something that the state legislature has proposed, but they are going to reduce minimum wage from $10 an hour to $7.50 an hour.
Yeah.
Way to go, St. Louis.
I can't believe. I can, because here's the thing. This is something that Jennifer could look up. We're almost there to do that thing. I think that Missouri was on track to stop being a right-to-work state. I mean, or to start being. Like, unions. Like, no union stuff. Like, union busting. Like,
yeah.
I know that they were on track. I don't know how they voted, because I live in Illinois.
Yeah.
And I don't pay as much attention to St. Louis politics as my fellows here in Illinois do.
Yeah. Well, it seems like, you know, since you live so close to St. Louis, even though it's across the river and in a different state, it seems like what happens in St. Louis still kind of radiates out from there, and you are in that
bubble. It does. It does, especially sports-wise, you know.
Yeah.
People on the Illinois side of the river, most of them are Cardinals fans, not Cubs fans.
Yeah. But, I mean, you work in St. Louis or, you know, near St. Louis. And so people who live in Illinois, people who live in your city, probably a lot of them work in the city and are affected
by
financial decisions that the Missouri government makes.
Yes, you are absolutely correct. That is true. It's like Kansas City, maybe, but different.
Yeah.
So, what were you going to say, though? There was something that we were talking about. Oh, yeah, improv shop. Went there, enjoyed myself, but decided I didn't like the commute.
Right.
Which is sort of dumb, but seriously, like, I got spoiled. I don't like having to find parking on the street. I like just being able to go a place and park.
Yeah.
Which is what a small town will afford you.
I know, it will. I do get envious of that sometimes when I'm trying to find parking.
Like, all you have to do is think about me going, huh, do I want to park directly in front of the business or this space, which is two spaces away from the direct front of the business? Lots of times, I'll park a little farther away and walk because there are some people who need, you know, that space.
Right.
And I feel pretty good about that, Ben. All right, so let's do the corrections.
All right, corrections time. We should have intro music for the corrections segment.
Yeah, we should. Let's do that. How's that going to happen?
I don't know. How is it going to happen?
Oh, wait, wait. Okay, hold on.
We've always talked about collaborating again.
Oh, like musically?
Yeah, like I'd send you a drum beat and you put a guitar riff over it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Let's put a pin in that and do it sometime. We could do it now. We could do it live over the... No, probably not. Timing-wise, it's not that good. Oh, I'll tell you what. All right, on the count of three, you can sing along with me if you want, or I could sing it. We're just going to go, corrections.
Okay.
And then you'll put a little ding at the end of it.
All right,
okay?
I'll do that. Okay. And by the way,
yeah,
for me, it's going to sound like I'm singing along with you, but for you, it's going to sound like I'm late, but just go with it, because that's how telephone works.
Oh, yeah, I've been going with it for years, Ben.
All right, lead us in.
One, two, three.
Corrections! Ding! All right,
cool.
Speaking of corrections, here we go. Jennifer says she is an autodidact. Paul pronounced it autodidact. All right, so your pronunciation was off. That's a self-taught person. She has also been called a polymath, a person of encyclopedic knowledge. So perhaps an autodidact polymath? It seems a little too much to me. I prefer simply autodidact, which means I get to pronounce words wrong. Because I've never heard them used, just read them.
Hey,
there you go.
And yet she
gets on your case.
Corrected my pronunciation. Well, I did add like an entirely new syllable, so that I understand, or not syllable, consonant, entirely new. I accept her correction.
So
autodidact.
Autodidact.
Is that?
I will spell it.
No T or yes T?
There's a D-A-C-T.
Autodidact.
Yeah, auto, D-I-D-A-C-T.
She is an autodidact.
Didact. Dact.
Didact.
Dact, yeah.
Dact.
All right, and then we started talking about the Confederate battle flag.
Yes.
So she says,
and how cool we thought it was when it was on the General Lee.
Oh yeah, when it was on the General Lee.
Exactly.
We were too young to understand the significance.
Exactly. And I was saying, I believe I made the statement that it actually probably, for me anyway, softened my opinion of it. Even now, as we talk, I still think of it. Oh, that's right. The statement I made was I thought that it was actually just a variation on the American flag, which I guess it sort of was.
No, I don't remember you saying
and
that.
And it seemed patriotic rather than...
I think...
When I was a kid. Okay.
Anyway, so she goes on to say, the Stars and Bars Confederate flag, when shaped as a rectangle, is actually a naval ensign of the CSA, and I'm assuming CSA is Confederate States of America. It was flown by the 2nd Naval Regiment. If it is square, it was a CSA battle standard for infantry, artillery, and cavalry. It is primarily associated with the Army of North Virginia. So, just a little background information. I don't remember us saying anything differently or anything too in-depth.
I didn't say anything about being in the Navy, so I think that is good information to add.
Other flags, such as the first national flag of the CSA, were too similar to Union flags. Obviously, this caused problems on the battlefield. The final CSA official flag has a square of the stars and bars, where we currently have a square of blue with 50 stars, a white field, and then a rectangle of red at the end. And then she included a picture, and the picture is kind of weird because the picture has a white background, but it's on a white background in the email, so it looks kind of weird.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna save the image to my desktop and see what it looks like. She describes it, and So it looking at it not in the white field of Gmail, it's more clear. So yeah, the Confederate battle flag is in the upper left corner where the stars, the blue field of stars are in the U.S. flag, and it's got a red pillar at the end. And I've never seen this one before. I've never seen this one. Yeah, cool. All right.
And so that was Brad Buckingham, who gave her that information? Jennifer's brother-in-law.
Ah. Cool. All right.
And I am not going to share any anecdotes about him at this point. But
share them with me,
probably. That is who he is.
All right.
And Jennifer was concerned that he was going to be mad about his yard. And I have still not heard how that went.
Oh, because it's his basketball hoop she ran over?
Well.
What about, you said something about he was going
to
be mad about his yard.
The basketball hoop belongs to his children. Because, like, wet soil driving through the yard, there's going to be tracks.
Right.
Tire tracks. Which is a concern.
She was driving through his yard?
Yeah, well, here's the thing, is that there was somebody parked behind her, and it was late at night.
Ah, gotcha.
So rather than waking them up to have them move their car, she drove through the yard.
All right, well, anyway,
regretted it.
We don't need to dwell on this. Let's move on.
After she hit the basketball hoop. Hey, what? Yeah.
So would Bruce Lee have still made movies if he had been cast in Kung Fu? We talked about this, and I hypothesized that we would not have some of the great Bruce Lee movies in the 70s if he had been able to do his TV show called The Warrior.
Yes.
Which they eventually made into the TV show Kung Fu, starring David Carradine. And she says she thinks she would, and here's why. He had a framed letter he'd written to himself stating his goals, and I am not going to try to read this on the microphone. It is very ornate, handwritten script. And my ability to read cursive writing, I think, has completely left me. I cannot, for the life of me, read cursive writing at a reasonable clip. I have to stop and study and look at each word and try to figure out what it says.
Okay.
All right. And finally, she says, lastly, for episode 71... She didn't try to tamp down the weird. She told you you never had to worry about being weird. You just are. You've got it on lock. No one will ever confuse you for a normie. Also, when you dive into aggressive weirdness, it's just annoying. Like someone doing a fake laugh. Just, ew, gross, stop. You never need to try. You're rock solid in the weirdness biz. I don't remember what we were talking about.
Okay,
did you say
so
she
we
tried to tamp
about...
down your weird?
Well, no. Okay, so this is the thing. Is I was saying that there are some people, and I used our friend Jason Trachtenberg and this other guy whose name I can't... Nardwar the Human Serviette, who's a music interviewer. And there are other people, like, you know, some people do it, like, professionally, like Tom Green and stuff. But the basic idea... It's the people who kind of dare you to like them by being hyper weird.
Right.
And I said, that's something that I sort of did. And Jennifer kind of put a stop to that. She sort of talked me out of it. And what she's saying is that she wanted to make sure that conversation was put forth correctly. Yep. What she said wasn't, hey man, don't be weird. What she was saying was, if you're concerned that people aren't going to think you're weird, don't worry.
Yeah, you just...
You cannot not be weird.
You just are weird. Just going
right,
natural.
The thing that you can be, though, is less intentional about it.
Yeah.
And that is a good... You know, intentional weirdness is what I'm talking about. The thing where people are owning their weirdness in such a way that it becomes forced, like she was saying, like a fake laugh.
Yeah.
Where it's like, ugh.
All right. So that was all. Those were all corrections for episode 71. She did send a couple of things for last week's episode when we had Andy Burnside Weaver on the show.
Oh yeah.
Who sent me a very
Andy Burnside Weaver
sent me a very nice email afterwards. Oh. Yeah, he said that he really enjoyed being on the show, and it was fun to sit here and reminisce with you.
Yeah, and I think, you know, obviously, you know, I feel like it wouldn't be such a bad thing to have him as a guest again in some future episode.
Yeah,
he
no,
seems
absolutely.
Pretty cool.
He also said that he and his...
I just want to point out that I said he seems pretty cool of a man that I've been friends with since I was in grade school.
Yeah,
yeah, he seems like an okay
guy. He seems
all
right.
Like,
he checks out.
Yeah, as though I found him on Craigslist or something. Anyway. Right.
Anyway, so...
Go ahead, Ben.
He also sent me another email saying that he listened to the show with his daughter. And he tried to leave a comment, but the thing about the website is that on every... I turned all the comments off on everything because I got tired of basically the whack-a-mole routine with spam comments.
Yes.
And because nobody's going to comment legitimately. And but there's a thing about the WordPress CSS is borked somehow. I don't really know where. So the it still says add a comment on the page, but then when you click on it, nothing happens because I've disabled commenting, and I wasn't really too concerned with fixing that. So anyway, he sent me a link to the song Dave's Cappuccino.
Ah, all right. So have you listened to it?
I listened to the first minute and a half or so of it.
Because I'll tell you, I have not listened to it yet.
I felt I got the gist of it after the first minute and a half. Anyway, she says, the folks who killed themselves to get on the spaceship hiding in the tail of the Hale-Bopp comet was the Heaven's Gate cult led by Marshall Applewhite, also known as Do. I didn't know that part. Also known as Do.
How is that spelled?
It's D-O. Do.
Oh.
She also says...
So it could be doe.
Doe. Could be. Doe. A deer.
Yeah.
She also says, I believe I have found Robert Bob Jordan.
Oh. That's something that I forgot about. Jennifer can find people. Hey, Jennifer. Here's another person to find. Dave from Dave's Cappuccino. Andy and I were talking about it.
and we don't know what happened to him. Dave from Dave's Cappuccino.
Well, she also...
We know he was a diver.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, does she talk about him later on?
No, she follows okay. up her Bob Jordan comment with, it is up to Paul and Andy to decide if they would like to know more. So if you want to follow up with Robert Bob Jordan, talk to your wife.
Okay, sounds good. I will. Yeah.
And that's
awesome.
That's corrections. Should we have
and then you'll play here. Yeah, yeah.
Outro?
That's corrections. And then you'll play the outro. It'll be the same outro and same intro.
Yeah.
And you'll play that right now. Okay. Good.
And there it is. All right.
Maybe that worked.
And maybe it won't. Who knows? We'll try.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, and if you'd like to do a cover of the Corrections song, please do so and send it to Ben.
To Ben's email at yahoo.com @gmail.com. Spell it out like it sounds.
Why don't you?
Why don't you?
And so yeah.
So I'm doing something fun tonight. You know what I'm doing? You don't know what I'm
what
doing.
What are you doing?
Blair and I are actually going to the Mariners game tonight because it is Bark in the Park night. It is the night where the Seattle Mariners allow you to bring your dog to Safeco Field.
Oh my goodness.
And so we don't.
Do you guys have a
dog? No, we don't have a dog. Neither of us own a dog, but both of us are dog crazy. And so what we do is.
All right.
So they put all the dog people in a certain section of the stadium. It's like on the third base side in the 300 level.
Uh-huh.
And so what we do is we buy tickets that are just outside the dog section. So we sit next to the dogs, but we're not in the dog section. And yeah, so it's a lot of fun. We did this last year and it was crazy because there are so many cute dogs. And tonight is Bark in the Park.
You know, the chances are that some of those dogs have the same birthday.
Yeah, if there's 21 of them in the same room.
Yeah.
Is that the stat if there's 21,
23
or 23,
I believe. 21 or 23, yeah. Depending.
Depending on whether or not
I was,
you found a connection already.
How many of you dogs have the... Hey, here's something that's really interesting, Ben.
I don't
know if you know this, but if you have 23 random people in a room together, there is a chance that two of those people have the same gender. Unless it's a group of sketch comedians from the 1990s.
Or the 2010s.
Actually, that's not true. I was in a sketch comedy group. We were progressive enough that we had female members.
Yeah.
Not progressive enough that the men didn't just write girlfriend and waitress parts.
Yeah, no, it's
which is horrible.
It's still an issue. I'm still pretty much involved with Sketchfest, and we had our festival selection meeting last week. And it's still, we try to be very inclusive. We try to be very diversive. But it is so hard to find sketch groups that have people of color, that have gender non-conforming performers. You know, we actually had a discounted price. It was called the wage gap discount. And so normal submission price was $35. But if half or more of your group identifies as LGBTQIA+ POC, then you get $10 off, and it was only $25 to apply.
That is really cool.
And so we still had to go to have that conversation when we were reviewing all the submissions, when we would find if it was down to two groups and one group was just all dudes. All white dudes, and they were super funny, versus another group that is a more diverse group, and they weren't as funny. what do we do? That is such a hard decision to make.
Here's what I would do. This is what I would say. The groups that aren't as funny, quote unquote, lots of times it's because they don't have as much of an opportunity to play out in front of folks and things. I mean, so you would be doing a service.
Well, see, here's the thing. That's something that we consider, right? And all these the groups that are in Seattle that we know. We know what kind of opportunities and performances and performance opportunities that they have. And Seattle's actually pretty great and progressive in that area, in that there's no barrier to performance around here. I mean, that I know. Of course, I'm speaking from a privileged white male cisgendered standpoint. But if we're looking at a group from, say, for instance, one group that we looked at was from Austin, Texas, and being from Austin, it's a predominantly like Hispanic city. Like if the major minority is
Austin,
Austin, Texas,
is majorly Hispanic.
Well, I'm saying the major majority, right? If you consider Caucasians still to be the majority ethnic group, then Hispanic Latino.
Oh, the major minority.
Yeah. Hispanic or Latino, okay. depending on how they identify, are number two. we don't know what kind of opportunity that they do or do not have when they're just applying. We tell them to send your best stuff, and we're going to judge you on how you structure a show, how funny you are.
Now, I have one other question.
Yeah.
Because this is important for the narrative that you're giving me. The selection team, the people that are choosing who's there and who's deciding if they're funny or not.
Yeah.
What is the diversity of that panel like?
Well, we're all white, and 1/3 of us are female.
And how many of you are there?
Six.
And what are your names? Let me get an address. I'm putting in a submission package. No, so you get the idea. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where someone's like, hey, we need more. This is one of the big things about comics. And I know that maybe you guys have talked about this already. The idea that, we need more diverse characters, right, in comics, and the argument is you don't actually need more diverse characters as much as you need more diverse comic creators, and then the rest of it will kind of take care of itself.
That's actually a sticking point with Cole Hornaday, where he wants more diverse characters, but he also wants them to be written from the point of view of that ethnicity that's being written for.
Right. Like, I would rather have Superman drawn by an African-American creative team, right, than an African-American comic book character written by two white guys.
Right.
I think the former would be more interesting.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the things, is the company came out with a statement saying we tried to do diverse comics and people didn't like them. And that's the thing, is you have these properties, right? And that's the other thing, is that, you know, if you think about it, Superman, Alien, Living on Earth, there's some stuff there that, you know, you could reach as a woman, or as a black man, or as an old lady. You know what I mean? There are stories that you can tell with characters that are already established, from a viewpoint, or with the additional insight of a non-white, cisgendered male perspective.
And it's as far as the comics industry is concerned, it has a long ways to go, but I think it is going in the right direction.
So that's all. That's all. The only thing I would say is that are there people in the Seattle sketch community that you could reach out to get more diversity on the selection committee itself?
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's always more we can do. I'm not going to say there's
like I don't know. And the other thing is I don't know like where you are in the hierarchy or anything like that. It's like
I'm sure if I wanted to, I could run the organization. I have no interest in it though.
But you come at the king, you best not miss, Ben.
Exactly.
Well, be careful who you're talking to.
Watch
no,
out,
kidding.
People
but,
in
but,
charge.
But the point is that at one point in time, I was leaving Amazon, and this guy asked me if I worked at Amazon. I said, yes. He's like, yeah, can you make sure my application gets in front of the HR guy? And I'm like, no, I can't. Now that I'm thinking about it, I suppose I could have, but I didn't know who that person was. You know, I would have had to do a lot of legwork.
Yeah, well,
that
see,
sort of thing.
Amazon's a specific beast in itself because there's not just one HR person, there's a process. Like in a smaller company, you'd probably know who the HR person was. Maybe we're friendly with them, and so if somebody's like, "Hey, can you give them my resume?" You could say to the HR person, "Hey, give this one a special look-see."
Yeah, but in the same way, I mean, me saying to you, hey, Ben, why don't you choose different people for this collection? You know, that
yeah,
that does make a lot of sense. So, but what started us on this path? Do you remember?
I started talking about Sketchfest and how...
We were just talking about women in comedy. How it wasn't, it still, there was still an issue.
Yeah.
With it. You know, I...
Because that's our...
Like...
We're the only ones who can solve this problem. Two white dudes.
Well, the thing is, I was thinking about, like, the comedians of comedy, right? The documentary about, the comic story. It was Brian Posehn... Zach Galifianakis, blanking.
Yeah,
Patton Oswalt.
I think
and Maria Bamford.
I think I've seen it. I know of it, but I have not seen it.
The inclusion of Maria Bamford. This was like in the 2000s. I'm pretty sure was really like a step. When I saw it, it was. Oh, look, they're touring with this.
There's
this
a lady.
Woman is in the group. When Lauren Lapkus started showing up on Comedy Bang Bang stuff a lot more, like as a regular, that was a thing. Same thing with Paul F. Tompkins, Spontanea Nation. It's 2017, but still, you know, when he has a more diverse group of people on than one might normally be used to,
right?
It's good. It's you know, very helpful to that sort of thing. And it really is one of those things where if you can get an ensemble together with a lot of different, you know, backgrounds and stuff like that, once you get the... because that's the thing, is that you can...
Is that cheese coming back on you?
No, I'm not well, Ben. I've had a cold... I stayed home for work today. I worked from home, I should say. But once you get through all of the stuff that, you know, because back in like the 80s or the 90s or whatever, you know, if you were a black comedian doing comedy for white people, a lot of your material was about the African-American experience.
Yeah.
And if you're a woman, you know, not all comedians did this. And the ones who didn't, you know, really worked out. But there was a book floating around about how to be a stand-up comic that I owned. And the big thing was, you know, hey, you know, stereotypes are okay for your act. Why not play to, like, this was a real thing. Play to your strengths. you know, they're going to think that you're the other, so be the other and talk to them about it from that side.
Talk about terrible stereotypes.
And we'll like, and suggestions were to, like, sort of make jokes, like, I'm half black and half white, and I am...
So I'm half good at sports.
You know, always... Like jokes like I'm always afraid I'm gonna take my wallet, you know, whatever, stuff like that. Right. Horrible things. And if you watch comedians from that time period, you will see things like that. And some comedians who haven't progressed from that time period still do it.
Yeah.
No,
I don't know from the stand-up comedy thing, but I'm still trying to wrap my head around why it's so hard to find female identifying performers and people of color in the sketch comedy scene. And I don't know if it's just an art form that appeals mostly to white male identifying performers, or if it's because it's been that for so long, other people other than white dudes are interested in it, because it's primarily white male performers. Does that mean it only appeals to a white male audience, and so nobody else is coming and wanting to get interested in it?
Yeah, that's the thing, is if I'm being, you know, kind of honest and from a point of view, there's a little bit of gatekeeping that happens. I mean, it used to be that the whole women aren't funny thing, which now gets made fun of a lot,
yeah,
was a prevailing idea that people would talk about, like when you're trying to pick somebody to go into the group. And a lot of it has to do with the idea of it being a boys club, kind of, yeah. And you have to be cool with, you know, not getting your sketches on because, you know, these aren't that great, you know, whatever. When in fact they might be fine. It's just that it's not funny to 3 20-year-old white guys,
right?
You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Again, yeah. This whole, and I'm sorry, Jennifer, so much. Hooray, white guys solve another problem. Yeah. That
I'm so
is
glad
only
we talked about it
because
now we've solved it and we can move on.
If only Joe Garden were listening to this one, he would love it.
He tuned out about a half an hour ago.
Speaking about Joe Garden hung out with Joe Randazzo for a little bit and sent me a picture. Joe Randazzo's kid has a copy of my book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I might have sent it to them, which might be part of it. But still, they have it.
I started...
Speaking of which,
yeah.
I now have... I think I might have mentioned this to you, but if I haven't, I now have all 97 remaining copies of A Surprise for Jeff and Elton.
You did mention
that.
I'm
not sure what I'm going to do with them yet. Some of them are in the trunk of my car.
Make a house fort.
One of them is a closet. What's that?
Make a house fort.
What'd you say? Oh, yeah. A book fort.
Just wallpaper your living room.
I thought you said make a house for it. And I'm like, yeah.
Make a house for it.
A house. Oh, my God.
Just
a pillow for it.
Just line the... Just,
that's one of those things. They sound fort and for it sound very similar.
Yeah, just, you know, stack them all up and take a picture of it and send it to me.
Oh, yeah. I might do that.
I started reading a new book last night. I started reading Jason Schmidt's A List of Things That Didn't Kill Me.
Oh yeah,
and I remembered that.
We have that book.
I don't read books by people that I know all that often. And I actually bought that book the same day I bought A Surprise for Giraffe and Elephant from Ellie Bay Book Corp.
Hey, look
bookstore.
At that! I feel good about that.
Yeah.
That is pretty awesome. Sitting on this. Okay, so I have a TV stand. Sitting on the TV stand is one of those things you use to eject a SIM card out of a iPhone.
Yeah, yeah, a little like a pen-looking thing.
Yeah, it's weird that I have it. That's all.
They used to come with iPhones, and I don't think they do anymore. I think Apple
maybe that's
thought,
what it is.
Thought people had enough of them. So if I ever need...
Maybe it came with Betty's phone.
If I ever need to eject a SIM card from my iPhone 5S, I got to go through and find the box... for my iPhone 3G, the very first iPhone I bought, and
get
the
SIM
card puller out of it.
Uses the same thing?
They do. Well, they do use the... It's the same form factor. It's this little hole, you know? So basically all that is you could use a paperclip if you needed to, you know? That's kind of all you need.
Oh, my gosh. What is happening? I'm getting these weird... This weird spam calls.
Spam calls?
Not weird spam calls, but I'm looking at my I just got an email notification. There's this guy, his name is Nicholas Matos. And Nicholas Matos wrote, "My golden opportunity. I will be doing the play-by-play and color analysis of the Global Basketball Summer League beginning on July 7th through July 12th in Las Vegas. All games will be televised via the internet. Thank you for believing in me. Your support has given me courage and energized me. I don't know how he knows me.
It's the internet, Paul. He probably doesn't know you. I'm sure that somehow your email got out there and he hoovered it up from sort of lists that he bought. Or maybe he mistyped your email. I get that a lot.
But at least one person wrote back and said, "I love it," to him. Like, I think this is a legit, like, it's not spam. Like, he actually accidentally...
Yeah, it's he probably meant to write... You're probably on there due to a typo.
I'm going to look up Nick Matos and see if I ever emailed him before.
And this is something that you can do, not
Nick
on the show.
Nick Matos. Wait a second. He sent me something way back in 2016.
Way back last year.
Yeah, I don't know why. What happened? This is why we don't do this, Ben. It's not looking things up if it's me looking at my email, but it's so close.
It's close enough.
I'm sorry, everybody.
It's close enough.
That's the kind of stuff that used to happen.
We got a little taste.
The time.
We got a little taste of Paul's obsessiveness. And you know what? It's probably...
Oh, gosh.
I don't know how he got your email address. I wouldn't think too much about it. Just whenever you see his emails come in, just delete them. That's what I do.
Wait, Nick sends you
emails? No, not from him specifically. But one of the things I do in the morning is I just go through and delete all the spam and mistyped emails and stuff. I got somebody has an email address that's really close to mine.
Yeah,
and this person lives in Hong Kong, so I get a lot of email spam, you know, sales emails, promotional emails from businesses in and around Hong Kong. And yeah, it's annoying.
Hey, Ben, wait a second. Have you
been
to Hong Kong?
I have never been to Hong Kong.
You've been to China, but you've never
been
to
Hong
Kong.
Yeah.
So,
but see, Google did this thing where I don't know if they changed something or if it's always been this way, but if you have your email address, right? Let's say your email address is myname@gmail.com. They instituted this thing where you can... where my.name@gmail.com will still come to you and my+name@gmail.com will still come to you. And I think this is a new thing because somebody has the email address, like my email address, but there's a dot in the middle. And so I get all of those emails now because he still has that email address. But all the email addresses that he signs up for, all the businesses, this dude, whose name is probably Benjamin Lau, all the services he sends up for using this email address, I also get because Google now sends them to me because of this new rule.
You know, I had the same thing where there's a change.org thing in Great Britain.
Yeah.
That this guy signed up for using my email address on accident.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly the same, but it is sort of. Because I get all these petitions about
British politics and stuff like that. So I fill them out every once in a while because, you know, I'm interested in there being a new stadium in Sheffield or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
But, yeah.
All right. Well, hey, Paul, it's time to wrap up.
Okay,
so,
Ben.
Yeah, and I think we had a good show today. We solved the diversity crisis in comedy, so good on us.
Yes. Yay, we did it.
We didn't so much solve it as identify it.
Yeah, really, it's the same thing in the end.
Yep.
All right.
Let's just get
Ben,
the conversation moving.
Yeah, exactly. Let's. I'm concerned, but thrilled to know that Jennifer will be weighing in on this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another thing. I heard. She had floated the idea at one point in time of doing a stand-up thing, which I think would be awesome for me, because I think that she's incredibly funny and hilarious.
Would you be the brunt of all those jokes, though?
Oh, my gosh. I don't think I would mind that much as long as I didn't actually hear them. But I don't know. I think I could take it. I think I.
All right.
Whoa.
Well, let me.
No, that'll be the correction. No, Paul, you can't take it.
Let me know.
Because my
happens.
Feelings do get hurt. My feelings get hurt. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll tell everybody.
All right.
Because she's funny. I.
Indeed.
That's all that I have to say about that.
Alrighty.
And finally, hey, Betty. She's not here.
Joke's on us.
All right. Haha, keep it wrong, Ben.
Keep it wrong, Paul.